He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from my foes, who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm 18. Those are the words of David when the Lord delivered him from his enemies and from the hand of Saul, who sought to take his life because Saul believed a lie. The psalm opens, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. And in my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help, and from his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. I have never thought of myself to have enemies, real enemies, people that would want to do harm to me or to make my life so miserable that it would seem hardly worth living. But I'm finding out slowly that they are in fact out there, in the shadows. Well, they don't know me personally, but yet they detest me and would do me harm because of what I believe. And if I'm not watchful, I could easily be drug into the tall grass along the side of the path by one of them, and with them, there's no mercy or giving in tolerance. No, today the divisions are so great, it's take, strike hard. Evidence? No worries. Just be sure to plant the lies immediately to cover what truth may come out of the incident. As sons and daughters of God, we are taught to discern, to listen for and look for truth, and then proclaim it. We are to be watchmen, shouting from the rooftop or the walls of the city, what is going on? And if an enemy approaches, to make that warning known also. We are to be engaged. There is not a battle that takes place that is not a spiritual battle. And if you want to choose the role of a spectator, well, then while you're sitting out the battle, then be working on the answer that you will have to give as to why you did not take a stand. The dangers that David faced were real. There were those who wanted to see him dead, and the pressure that he felt when in hiding or when confronting his enemies, it was heavy and burdensome. We don't have those same examples of confrontation today. But the heart of the destruction that was behind those seeking to do harm to David is just as active and real today in mankind as it was when David wrote those words. All things come back to the heart. One is either operating under the influence of their sinful nature, or they have been operated on, and the old heart circumcised, and a new heart and a right spirit has now replaced what was once dead and cold. And there's life where death once reigned. When we do not engage, we're not taking ourselves out of the equation or the picture. No, what we're doing is offering others to be sacrificed. We face a great number of situations today where enemies come from many directions, where their logic is a fallacy, and at a time when indoctrination has covered truths and lies grow grander and grander as the days go on. What we face now is not always locally, but a combined global effort. No longer satisfied to take from their neighbors, their sights are truly set to conquer the world and those yet within it. Those leading this charge have become the tools of the prince of the air and of the gods of the pagans. They are now the embodiment of the acts of the sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And this from Galatians 5:19-21. These are the people who may be in positions of leadership at all levels, people that we know, live next to, or share a pew with in the church. Their discontent and unrest spews out hatred in secret in gatherings, and they are causing great divisions. And there's hardly a night of national or local news where fits of rage, episodes of confusion, are not on full display. God's laws are written on a man's heart, whether he acknowledges that fact or not. And so even though they do not acknowledge him, there is yet within them an unsettling that tells them that there is more to life, but they refuse to turn from what they are doing to find it. There is only one who gives destructive cause to the hearts of men, who entices them to carry such malice and hatred in their hearts, and who promotes others to pull them down. They are filled with lies and deceit, and vengeance flows like blood through them. They harbor malice, finding release only by carrying out the acts and the desires of their sinful nature, and there is no just love in them. David goes on in the psalm to say that the Lord heard his cry. And then the earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. And smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came out of his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. And he parted the heavens, and he came down, and dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim, and he flew. He soared on the wings of the wind, and he made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. And out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. And the Lord thundered from heaven, and the voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy's great bolts of lightning and routed them. And the valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. And he reached down from on high, and he took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. And they confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. And he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Again, Psalm 18. The attacks of our day do not go unnoticed by the Lord, and he will address them in his time. But first, the Lord will come to the aid of his child. Lost has become the voice of the church, the home guard. Lost are the watchmen, the frontline workers. Lost is the urgency of the day. There's always tomorrow. Maybe it will straighten itself out. Christians are afraid to proclaim that today could be the day that Jesus returns. Their calendars are full. They don't have time to prepare the way for the Lord. You see, we now have several generations that have been convinced by those of the world that having children and raising a family is not good for the environment. And now in many homes, there's no foundations for the children to build on, and the fluidity of relationships fill the world to overflowing with broken homes, broken families, and broken hearts. An environment set for attack. But God had said to the man, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." You see, God created it. He will provide for what he has created. It is pride and anger and hatred that are the foundations for the building of these enemies within these broken family units, and emotions are threatening the stability of nations. Today it seems as though there are those who are doing everything in their power to keep the fractures visible and the wounds infected. Today's attacks are now brazen and daring, no fear of consequences or retribution, because an environment has been conceived where good is now evil, and evil is now good. And you, by remaining silent while believing in those things that are of God, by being in the world, you will still be an enemy of the world and will be found out. There's no hiding from them. There is no tolerance by them, and they will condemn you for your belief. Each of the social issues that are taking place today are clearly addressed within the Word of God. And there are many who are falling away because they would rather rely on the word of a man and die with their family than spend time with God and learning from him directly how to save them. If God does not hold the weight in your heart that your family does, you may not have put your faith in him. Your trust may not lie with him. And you need to seriously consider, am I truly his? David continues, "As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is flawless. He is my shield. He gives me strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer. He enables me and trains my hands for battle." There's an enemy out there that seeks to destroy the children of God, and unprepared, you will fall. But dressed in the armor of God, you are prepared for those battles, and you can fight as a warrior of God, and he has yet to lose a battle. You are called to protect and provide for the weak and the vulnerable, to be a wall between danger and the children who are so vulnerable to that danger. You are to speak with love and truth, and by turning your head and pretending not to see what is, can you then look at someone coming out of that battle and tell them that you love them? There is a cry for righteousness and truth to be known by the next generations. They need to see that we really do believe, and that the hand of the Lord changes hearts, those of the individual, the family, and of the nation. Yours may be the voice that will introduce another to the living God, being then given the privilege to tell them of the amazing wonders of his love. Christian, rise up. Maranatha.